worship, and we're going to consider praise this morning. And there'll be a little bit of teaching, but if you want more teaching on praise and worship, then look out for the next time it will be considered at Bible school. And you'll learn the difference between the two. You'll learn, even more than today, the different words that are used for either praise or worship. And after the sermon, during which the children leave, we'll be having communion together. And when we have communion together, we'll pray for those who are doing the legacy course. We've, over the last few weeks, had different people giving testimony about what happened in their life as a result of legacy. For those who are visitors, we have, as a church, a series of five courses. The first course is an introduction to the Christian faith. We call that perspective. And then the second, community, is an introduction to the church. But then 3 and 4 last a whole weekend together with a prep session also. And legacy looks at, I guess, the different formative factors in our lives. Primarily, for most of us, that's our parents. And I guess we have both good and bad from all our families. But God's desire for us as his children is to have only good. And his desire is to bless us, for us to claim the inheritance that he has for us. He has for us authority, destiny. Just as in the parable of the prodigal son, when he returned, the son was given shoes on his feet, signifying the destiny. He was given a robe, signifying his identity, and he was given a ring, signifying the authority that the Father had given on him. And quite a few from our small groups this week, that's what they're considering. Liberty is the next course, and over the next few weeks, we'll have different people giving testimony about what happened in their life during liberty, or not necessarily during the course, what happened maybe after the course. And what I'd like you to do is, in your small groups this week, and you've got some thinking time, just share in your small group any testimony that you have from liberty. If perhaps you're wondering how we do liberty, it's, I guess, to use three words, it would be deliverance through worship. So the band are there for the whole weekend, and they facilitate us worshipping, and it's through that worship, together with prayer and fasting from facilitators, and then communion, where we claim God's authority over whatever it might be, whatever it could even be, in some cases, demon possession, but it might just be habits that we have, or illnesses. For myself, when I did Liberty, it was April last year, and I guess two testimonies, but they combine together. When we were worshipping during Liberty, one of the songs we sang said that my dead heart now is beating, my lungs fill up with air. And when we sang that, what I realized is that and you have a form to fill in beforehand so that you're, directed in your thinking. But what I realized when I filled in the form, and then very specifically when I sang the song, was that I'd had a chest infection for each of the last probably 6 or 7 years. And each time, at least once a year, I'd had to have a course of steroid treatment. And when we sang My Lungs Fill Up With Air, I claimed healing of my lungs without the need for a short course of steroids. And having done that, last year was the first year that I'd not had a winter where I needed a course of steroid treatment. Now, it's not to say that everything's easy. I did get something of an infection in the summer, swimming outdoors. But what I do know is that God was saying, I am going to heal you. It might be a process. It might take a while. I'm not giving you, he said, license to do anything silly, so I still see my GP about my chest. But what I do believe is that God started a healing process in my lungs. what I also realised, it's not myself, I've not had any heart problems, but in my family there's been quite a lot and quite a few people on medication. So what I claimed in the spirit at that time was not to need medication for my heart to keep beating. And I guess that's a testimony that you'll have to come back and hear in about 30 or 40 years, because you won't know for now. But that's what I believe God did. And Liberty continues on from Legacy, so you have to do Legacy before you can do Liberty. But if you have done Legacy, then please speak with your small group leader and register for Liberty, which is at the end of next month. This month. Thank you. 1st of November. I said we wouldn't do much teaching, but just a couple of, I think, five words that we have translated as praise within our Bibles in English. I'll leave you to guess the word that's missing from the bottom. There's one that I've not put up there that's a Hebrew word I'm sure most of you know for praise, which is halal, as in hallelujah. So halal, praise, Yah, the name of God, praise the Lord, is a Hebrew word for praise that most of us know. And then there's a few others, Yada, to give thanks. I'm not going to pronounce all of these words. There's also a Hebrew word which we have translated praise, meaning to bless. Then some Greek words which mean to glory, to applaud. And then, if you've not guessed the word that's missing, it's to celebrate in song. So the Greek word there, hymeo, is the word from which we get hymn. So they're just a few of the words. That are more. And as I say, if you want to learn more about praise, then sign up for Bible school the next time we consider praise, or just do an online search and look up Hebrew and Greek words for praise. We're going to consider, as we did with worship, a few questions about what praise is, where we praise, how we praise, why we praise, when we praise, if I didn't say that one already, and then who will praise, and also, perhaps a surprising one, what will praise. So that's where we're going. And as I say, it's not teaching, it's much more practical than that. So we'll have opportunity after the sermon, and either during, before or after communion, to praise some more. So if you felt Holy Spirit prompting you to praise a certain way and you didn't take that opportunity, then there'll be more opportunity at the end of the service. So just to start with the what of praise. In Isaiah chapter 61, we read the following. Most of the scriptures I'll use will be on the screen, but if you have a Bible, please turn with me in your Bibles. Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. So their praise is described as a garment. And we're told that we can be given the garment of praise in place of, instead of, the spirit of despair. If you know the beginning of Luke's account of the gospel, then Jesus took this portion of Isaiah and he read it, and he said that today this scripture is fulfilled. So praise, because Jesus fulfilled this, it's an anointed gift. We read that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me. So praise, we'll look a bit later, that anything even can praise. But At one level, anything can. In another level, we can only praise if we're anointed by God's Spirit. And it's a gift in that regard. God desires for us to have, instead of ashes, a crown of beauty. Instead of mourning, gladness. And instead of a spirit of despair, praise. So it's a gift. It's a gift from God. And if you struggle when there's a time of praise, I know when we bring some family members to church and we talk about it afterwards, they'll say, well, I don't like it when you have all the songs together and I'd rather they be split up a bit. And I don't know why that is. It might be because people feel perhaps uncomfortable with an extended period of praise. I guess if you don't know the songs, that can be quite difficult. And for those who are visiting with us, then if you don't know our songs, feel free to worship and praise in songs to God that you do know. But if you find it difficult to praise, then ask God, because he enables us to praise. God's Spirit that anointed Jesus is the same Spirit that anoints us and enables us to praise. And just as Elkin mentioned earlier, he received prayer last night as people were praising. At the end of the service, there'll be opportunity. If you struggle to praise, it might be a long-term struggle, or it might be just something in your circumstances at the moment which make it difficult for you to praise, then please indicate, and different leaders within the church will come and pray for you. So praise is a gift of God. Praise is also a choice that we make. This was mentioned earlier, and we sang it. But the beginning of Job, we read at the end, towards the end of chapter 1 of Job. Job had just heard that after all his property and after all his livestock, sheep and cattle had been destroyed, that his sons and daughters, while they were having a party, were all killed. Then we read in verse 20, at this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. So praise is a choice. I've never faced a choice as difficult as Job faced in the face of losing his children, his sons, and his daughters. He made the choice to praise. What was his emotion at the time? How his body, we know that he fell to the ground. And maybe he wasn't able to stand up, I don't know. Maybe he was just in awe of God, but maybe having been hit by so much, he was unable to stand. But still, he chose to praise. And that's the point. Whatever our circumstances, however we might feel we've been treated by other people, or however we feel God has treated us, we can still choose to praise. So praise is an anointed gift that God gives us, but praise is also a choice that we make. And as I said earlier, there'll be later on an opportunity to praise once more. Where do we praise? In Psalm 22 and verse 22. The psalmist says, I will declare your name to my brothers. In the congregation, I will praise you. So when we meet together, we praise. For those of us that don't have great singing voices, it's perhaps easier to praise when we meet together, when we have musicians and when we have others whose voices can perhaps drown out our own. But whatever our quality of voice, whatever our musical ability or not, God takes delight when we praise. If you have a child and that child learns to sing, then you don't mind whether the song is in tune or out of tune. You're just pleased that the child is singing. And in the same way, when we sing to God, he takes delight in our praise, whether we're in tune or out of tune, whatever our gifting may be. I will declare your name to my brothers. in the congregation, I will praise you. And when we meet together, it's a good time to praise, because then we realize that we are a body, that we're male and female, that we're from different nations, different backgrounds, different languages. But together, in the congregation, we praise God. And then, also, where do we praise? Isaiah chapter 42, just verses 10 and 11. If you have a New International Version, you'll see Song of Praise to the Lord is the title. And here we're encouraged, sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and all who live in them, let the desert and its towns raise their voices. Let the settlements where Kedar lives rejoice. Let the people of Selah sing for joy. Let them shout from the mountaintops. So whether you live in an island, as in the UK, or in a desert, maybe in Africa or in Asia, whether you live in a town, somewhere that's well established, or a settlement, whether you're well established in London or you're just settling here, you may have just moved, you may just be here for a weekend and your town or city is elsewhere, whether you live high up by the mountains or down by the sea, wherever you are, you can praise. In other words, wherever we go in the world, we can praise. Not just wherever we end up living, but also wherever we end up, even perhaps for a few days on holiday or for work. Always, whenever we travel, we try and look for a church building. And if not a church building, then maybe just a fellowship of believers that meet in a home. But praising, I guess, especially if you use song, is a good way to recognize other people who are Christian, who share your faith, if you're in a place where you don't know. I know a few people who haven't joined this congregation of Shofar because of the music, but we do know of people who hear about us, hear the music and stand at the back. But quite a few people have joined the church because they've heard the music in a building where they didn't expect a church to meet, a sports centre or some other leisure centre, have heard people praising and gone to worship God and found in that place a home. So where do we praise? We praise together in the assembly, and wherever we find ourselves is also where we praise. Wherever we go, wherever we end up living, wherever we go, even for a short vacation or a business trip, let those be the places where we praise God. How do we praise? Different churches have different traditions. Tradition was mentioned already. And I'm not going to go into different traditions. We all have traditions, whether we're from a so-called traditional church or perhaps what we might call a less traditional church. We all have traditions in our praise. And we could spend quite a bit of time on that. But more than that, I'm going to consider how we praise in terms of ourselves, our persons. And Revelation chapter 7 gives us an example that we can follow. It's an example of what's going on in heaven. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. How do we praise? After this, I, John, looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." So how do we praise? We praise with our bodies. John saw that people were from every nation, tribe, people, and language. And how would he have known that they were from every tribe and every nation? He would have known because they looked different, because of their physical bodies. And God can use our physical bodies. He wants us to use our physical bodies to worship him. They were standing, so they were using their legs, and they were holding, and they were using their arms. So, as we said earlier, be expressive in our worship. Now, I mentioned different traditions, and people are different. I grew up watching football and rugby league, and different teams may have been more, or the supporters of different teams may have been more expressive and exuberant than others, but always within the supporters of a team, there'd be some who were more exuberant, others who were less. But even given those differences, there'd be times when everybody, even the less expressive ones, would be exuberant in their praise of their team. And in the same way, there'll be different styles in which we worship here. Some of us might be more expressive and more exuberant. But I do believe there should be times when all of us, whatever our composition, whatever our natural inclination in terms of how we worship, will be overcome by praise. When God perhaps does something in our midst, or we hear of testimony of what God has done. So how do we praise? We praise with our bodies. And our bodies include our voices. We read that the people were from every language, but they cried out in a loud voice. So every language, but only one voice. Now, we're not there yet. We're not in heaven yet. And it will be great when one day we cry out to God in one voice. Whatever our language is, we cry out in one voice. I studied French at school, and I got to a level where I was able to share my faith in French. But since then, I've not really used it at much at all. I doubt I'd be able to share my faith in French today. I went for a week to Pakistan, and I pick up a few words. Although in my mind, I don't know about yours, some of you might be more linguistically gifted, but I have English and non-English. And whether I'm in Europe or Asia, the non-English will include a bit of a European language and a bit of an Asian language. But one thing I realized, it was a few years ago, we went to Germany. We went earlier this year to the wedding of a Lutheran pastor, and her husband was a German doctor who did a year of his training at St. George's. And we went to visit them a few years ago. And a few years before that, before I had the gift of tongues, and I guess this was what perhaps started me asking God for the gift, was I read a book by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Now, if you know a bit about him, you might know that he was born in 1906. And so I'll come back to the 2006, because that had a bit of significance for this story when we were in Germany. But one of the things that he said, he was a pastor from Germany who stood up against the Nazi regime there and lost his life for doing so. But he said that just as God took the curse of language that was given at the Tower of Babel when people tried to reach God, so God gave languages to confuse, that God reversed that curse and made it into a blessing at Pentecost when Holy Spirit came, when people, whatever their background was, heard the disciples of Jesus, uneducated men, speaking in their own language. So the curse of Babel is now the blessing of Pentecost. And what I realized then, as I say, I started to ask God for the gift to be able to pray in tongues, and he gave me that gift. And he has good gifts for all of his children. If you desire that gift, then please ask him and ask for prayer also. But what I realized in addition to getting that gift is that God said, well, you know, I don't have to be the best linguist, but if I have a heart that is wanting to praise, whatever the language, wanting to convey God's praise, then he can use spiritual languages, or at least spiritual discernment, even if I can't communicate my faith in the way that I'd like to with someone who doesn't speak English as well as I do, or as well as they speak another language. Then God can use spiritual languages in order to convey that. And so when we went to Germany in 2006, there many of the churches were celebrating Bonhoeffer's, the centenary of his birth. And so I wasn't able, I know very little German, I wasn't able to explain my faith in German, but when we were staying with this Lutheran pastor and Adam, I was able to say that, just talk a bit about Bonhoeffer and how that, reading what he wrote about the blessing of Pentecost, led to me asking God for the gift of tongues, being able to pray in languages that I don't understand, other earthly languages or heavenly languages. So our bodies, including our voices, God wants us to use whatever language we have to praise. And then, as well as our bodies, we're minds and we're spirits. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul was writing to the church in Corinth, and he says, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind." And Paul goes on to say that when we sing or pray in tongues, we edify ourselves but not others. When we pray or sing in a tongue, it's perhaps difficult to understand, especially if you've not done it yourself or had much experience of it, but the best way that I learned to express it was something from Bible school, which is your spirit connecting directly with God's spirit without going through the mind. So it's in a way a bypass of the mind. You might not understand what you're saying, but your spirit is connecting with God's spirit without the use of your mind. And there are times when we're unable to pray. We perhaps are so confused, or we might just be tired, whatever it might be. If your mind is unable to pray, then your spirit can connect with God's spirit if you use a spiritual language. But at other times, we read that Paul said he would pray with his mind and he would sing with his mind. So God wants us to use our minds, just as he wants our bodies in worship. He wants our minds in worship. So even if the songs are familiar, or perhaps even more so if the songs are unfamiliar, we're not to switch off our minds when we worship, because God can speak in you. Many of the words that we sing in praise are taken directly from Scripture, often from Psalm, but elsewhere. Maybe you didn't know that when in the Matt Redman song that we sang earlier, "Blessed Be Your Name," when we sing "You Give and Take Away," those are directly from the Scripture we read in Job. And many of the songs that we sing are Scripture. As I say, many Psalms, some elsewhere also. So don't switch off when we worship. Use our minds. God can speak to us as we worship, as we praise. And the body is edified when we use our whole selves in praise, body, mind, and spirit. So those of us that maybe can't dance so well are edified when others dance. Those who are unable to stand are edified when others stand. So how do we praise? We could have gone into lots of details of why do we do certain things. But as I said earlier, if you want to find out a bit more about the church, then community will tell you a bit about the church, including why we worship and praise in the ways that we do, and give a biblical basis for those. But the how of praise: we praise with our bodies, we praise with our minds, and we praise with our spirits us also. When should we praise? In Psalm 34 and verse 1, we read, "I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips." So we praise at any time, when we're together and when we're not together, in the morning and in the evening. We can extol the Lord at all times. I don't know what the first thing you do is when you wake up, or the first thoughts you have, or the same at the end of the day, the last thing that you do, or the last thought that you have. But why not, I'm speaking to myself also, to make sure that the first thoughts, the first words we have are praise to God, and the same at the end of the day. We can extol him at all times. we can have his praise on our lips always. And then one more verse for when, and it might not be apparent immediately. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Peter is writing and he says, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Some Christians like to worship. As I said, when we have family, it's usually people who don't go to church, but even some of those who do say that they find it difficult when we have an extended period of praise. Some Christians like to worship. Others find it a bit more difficult. Some find it easy to praise for half an hour or an hour, for 2 hours. If you go to Africa or Asia, you might well be in services where the worship and the praise lasts a lot longer than here. So some Christians find praise easy and happy to spend hours in praise. Others find it more difficult, but they find it easy to be involved in mission or evangelism, and they're happy to spend hours or days doing that. And then there might be at times a bit of a clash between the two, but the two go together, and this verse shows us how they do. When we declare the praises of God, it is a declaration. So praising is also a declaration. When we praise, it's part of our mission. It's part of evangelism. And for those who are reluctant to be involved in praise, then they need to realize that in heaven, that's all we'll be doing, praising and worshipping. And for those who may be reluctant to be involved in mission, they would need to realize that our only opportunity for mission is while we're here on earth, because we won't have that opportunity in heaven. There won't be people to share God's love with who haven't experienced it, because all will be experiencing God's love there. So if you find praise difficult, then get used to it, because that's what we'll be doing in heaven. But if you find mission difficult, then get used to mission. And I'm not saying that as a flippant comment. People will help you in your small groups here on Sundays. In terms of mission, your small group might be involved. It might be something as simple as having a social and inviting neighbours, and then informally or formally sharing testimony. Our only time for mission is while we're here on earth. So we praise at all times, but specifically when we declare God, when we proclaim Jesus, that is also our praise. In Isaiah 43 and verse 21, we read, God is speaking, "The people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise." God says, "The people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise." Why has God made us? Why has he made us into a people? He's made us into a people, into a priesthood, into a nation, a spiritual nation, so that we may proclaim his praise. That's why we've been made. Each one of us has been made to praise God. And God's the object of our praise. We don't praise for our benefit, although it is a benefit. We are benefited when we praise. We praise God for his glory. Our benefit is an additional benefit, a side effect, if you like. A side effect that's wanted rather than one that's unwanted. We are benefited when we praise, but we praise for God's sake, not for our sake. And again, if we're in a church, and it might be when we from this church go to other churches when we visit family or go on holiday, or if you're visiting here, the style of worship, the format of worship, the traditions of worship might be different. But the worship's not for us. So if we come to church and we think, "Oh, why are we singing that song again? Well, we're singing that song again because we're singing that song for God, and God doesn't tire of hearing his children praise. We benefit also, but we praise for God's sake and not for our sake. And in Matthew chapter 5, part of Jesus' sermon on the Mount of Olives, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, we read, "In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Jesus encourages us to shine our light so that other people may praise. So applying this to ourselves, why do we praise? For many of us, we praise because we've seen God's light in others. It might have been parents, it might have been a colleague, someone we study with, a neighbour, but we have seen in others people who good deeds have proclaimed Jesus, and because of that we praise. So if we look forward in terms of the purpose of our lives, why we're here, and if we look upward to God, we praise because God has created us to praise and because God is glorified when we praise. But if we look back at our lives and horizontally in our relationship with others, we praise because we've seen the good deeds of others. Maybe a sibling, maybe a marriage partner. But not only that, others should be able to look back at our lives and they should see our good deeds and they should praise. And that can be just as simple as setting an example of praise for children, either your own or those that you look after in children's church, or setting an example for those who are new in the faith. So when you're discipling someone, you're still praising even when things are not going well. And if the person who's been discipled sees that, they'll know that they praise. Why? Not because everything's going well, and we learn that from Job, but we praise because God has intended us to praise. We praise for God's benefit and not our own. And we also have seen the good deeds of others and therefore are able to praise. So shortly before we spend more time in praise, who praises? Again, this verse we've already read in terms of how, but this time, think of who. Revelation 7, verses 9 to 10. "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" So who praises? Everyone and anyone. Anyone can, but who will? As we said earlier, praise is a choice that we make. Philippians chapter 1 verse 11 says, "Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." So what does Paul tell us here? He tells us that when our lives are filled with the fruit of righteousness, that is praise. So it's no good, James tells us very clearly, to praise God with our mouth and at the same time, or for that read slightly earlier or slightly later, if we curse our sister or our brother. Who will praise? Those whose lives are filled with the fruits of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. That is to the glory and praise of God. So anyone can. And if you look at the second chapter of Philippians, verse 11, we read that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory, to the praise of God the Father. Every tongue will. Anyone can. Everyone will. But will we? Will I? Will you? will praise when our lives are filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. So our praise on a Sunday or a Wednesday affects us, impacts us. It determines what we do during the week, how we respond to situations. It's no good praising and then having a life which is no different to somebody who doesn't praise. Anyone can. Everyone will. But will we? And if you're thinking praise is difficult, it can be. It is a choice that we make. But take some encouragement, because we don't even need to be human to praise. In Luke chapter 19, we read that some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." Jesus replied, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." So even stones, part of God's creation but not living beings, even they are able to cry out. We read in Psalm 148 how the sun and the moon will praise, the stars will praise, the highest heavens, the waters above the skies, sea creatures, ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, mountains and hills, fruit trees and cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, all commanded to praise the Lord. There's no human compulsion in praise. We don't screen people on the way in and say, "How do you praise? How do you worship?" and then determine whether to let someone in. In the same way, anyone who pays their money for a ticket to watch a sports event or a music event can choose how they respond. There's no compulsion, but there is the leading of Holy Spirit, and God wants to lead us in praise. When we praise, we don't praise on our own. Not only is praise an anointed gift from God, but God himself, Holy Spirit, here on earth, while God the Father and Jesus the Son are in heaven, Holy Spirit is God here on earth, leading us in praise, directing us in praise. We're going to have communion now, and then we'll have a time of praise again to close the service. But while the bread and the wine are passed around, ask God, Holy Spirit, the God who's here, the God who leads us and directs us, ask him to lead you in your praise, to fill your life with righteousness. And if you're from another church, you're part of the body of Jesus, you're welcome to share with us in communion. But if maybe all the language of praise, the subject of praise, seems very foreign, because maybe your lips haven't been anointed, your life hasn't been reborn spiritually by God, the Holy Spirit, then today you can have that new birth. If you don't know Jesus, if you've never surrendered your life to him, today can be the day when you do. If you do know that you need Jesus as your Saviour, then please, just while people prepare themselves for communion, just indicate. Myself or someone else will come and pray with you. Philippians 2 tells us our attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Lord Jesus, we praise you that your obedience, even to the point of death on a cross, has opened up for us the way to God as Father. Jesus, we thank you that you made yourself nothing, that you became a servant, and that you gave up your life. So, Lord Jesus, Son of the living God, we honour you as we eat together in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you that you knew it was only your blood from a perfect life, which would satisfy God. Lord Jesus, we thank you for submitting your life to the will of your Father, for being perfect in obedience, so that your blood covers us and opens a way for us to address God as our Father. Lord Jesus, for your blood we thank you as we drink together in Jesus' name. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God, we ask that you will bend our knees if we're unwilling. God, if we refuse to submit to your will. And Holy Spirit, please loosen our tongues, our whole bodies, our legs and our arms, our feet and our hands. Renew our minds with the good, pleasing and perfect will of God. And Holy Spirit, minister to our spirits as we continue to praise now. Thank you, God, that you lead forth your people in praise. Thank you, God, that you are making us into a chosen people, into a royal priesthood, into a people who belong to you, into a holy nation. God, thank you that you do that in us. You put your glory in us so that we may praise you, you who have called us out of darkness and into your wonderful light. God, thank you that we will spend all eternity with you in worship and in praise. God, as we learn while we're here on earth, please teach us. Even today, God, teach us new ways to worship. Give new languages. God, give new songs, so that as we pray and as we sing, we will honour you, our God, as we praise. Amen.